Hello there and welcome to this edition of Total Health with Dr. Cage. This is the podcast of health and wellness, human consciousness, as well as human potential and longevity. Today, we're continuing the discussion from a previous podcast regarding the big three. That's a term I created in my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World, for the big three causes of modern illness, especially the chronic illnesses here in modern times. Today's episode is part two, the poison age. In the previous podcast, a couple of podcasts ago, I gave a short overview of each of the three, of the big three. And so today I'm going to be delving into the second of those, which is the dangerous effects of the wide range of toxic chemicals and pollutants, which are now so widespread that they are quickly defining our modern world, not as the Stone Age, Bronze Age, Iron Age, or even the Technology Age, but as I mentioned, the Poison Age. So before we get into that, I just would like to give you a quick reminder that my July special promotion is still on. It's still July. Today is July 20th as I record this. I've announced this in several of the previous podcasts, in fact, most of them this month, and I'm going to keep mentioning it right up through the end of July 2023, which is less than 2 weeks from now. What this promotion consists of is a 15% discount of any of my services I currently have on my website, everything from the cost of just one video or course up to my concierge medical program. And to claim your 15% discount, it's really easy. You just go to my website, drcagesays.org, send me a message from my contact page, and include the words Total Pod when you tell me which of my products or services you would like to apply your discount to. That's it. It's that simple. And I look forward to your emails. So let's begin. As a brief recap of how I got to my understanding of the world, I became very aware of the widespread effects of the big three once I began my days of clinical practice and I was helping patients find out their true problems, the true root cause of their illness. The vast majority of my seriously ill patients have the effects of at least one of these three major root causes and frequently all three. I'll let you read about all those details in my book. I suspect it might be worth evaluating a bit of history, though, to understand where this modern situation of environmental toxins came from. So environmental toxins are cause number two. Cause number one was the horribly poor quality of nutrition in our modern food supply. And the third one, which we'll get to in a future podcast, includes the dangerous side effects of many forms of modern vaccinations. So history. When you read everything that's out there, most authors begin about at the end of World War II in the mid-1940s. And up into the 1960s is where the problems really began. Mid-60s or so is where environmental pollutant problem really began to get noticed, and all the modern environmental movements, environmental protection programs began in the 60s. So that's pretty much where most authors will tell you. However, I'm going to go back a little farther. Just a little bit, tiny bit farther to the city of ancient Rome. So this is about 2,000 years ago or so. Rome, like many of the ancient empires, built their success on slave labor and by raping and pillaging the landscape. So everywhere they went and conquered a people, they took the people's slaves, and then they took all the valuable minerals. They took gold, silver, tin, iron and copper and all the other metals back to Rome to support the luxurious lifestyles they had created for the classes of nobles and aristocrats. And one of the metals they had found and began to widely use is the metal we today call lead. Lead was valued because it had two very useful properties. First, lead is soft and easily work, especially compared to metals such as iron and steel. The second key property is that lead does not rust. It can be immersed in water, sunk under lakes indefinitely, and no rust will form. There's just a unique property of the molecular structure of lead. It will not interact with water and oxygen to make rust. Those two properties, it's soft and easily worked and doesn't rust, seemed to make lead the ideal material for water pipes. Prior to the Romans' widespread use of lead for water pipes, the main materials used were wood and clay pottery pipes, both of which had short lifespans due to either rotting in the case of the wood or by being broken because clay pipes are fragile. Now, the Latin word for lead is plumbium. The word plumbium is where we get the modern words in the English language for plumbing and plumbers, just so you know. Now, certain areas of Rome took advantage of this marvelous new metal plumbium and replaced all their wood and clay pipes with lead ones. And because lead was a little more expensive, this, of course, mostly took place in the wealthier and more affluent areas of the city. Well, everything seemed wonderful at first. The rich Romans got to stop spending money on replacing water pipes every few years, and they moved on to other really important areas of attention, such as bigger and better parties, bigger and better gladiator shows to keep everybody entertained, and bigger and better vomitoriums. If you don't know what a vomitorium is, I'm not going to spoil your fun of looking that up for yourself using your favorite search engine. But then after a few years, however, to shamelessly borrow the name of a really cheesy play and movie about ancient Rome called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Well, then back in ancient Rome, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. The people who were living in those wealthy areas of the city began to get sick with strange neurological diseases and were often dying at a much earlier age than the rest of Roman citizens. Eventually, the Roman physicians and doctors and whatever their version of scientists were back then, they figured out that the cause of these strange illnesses was, in fact, the lead water pipes. It was only people who consistently got all their water through the lead pipes that were getting sick. The poorer classes of the populace, still using the outdated and crude methods of water delivery using wood and clay pipes, they just weren't getting sick. Now, there is an old adage that Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Nero was a Roman emperor. He appeared to go crazy, and he ignored the problems of the day, and there was apparently a fire or something, and he completely ignored the problem. It has been speculated by some historians that Nero actually was suffering from neurological damage from drinking water through lead pipes. That, of course, at this late date can never be proven, but it's a good workable theory, and I can't find anything to dispute that. So, with the cause of the strange new epidemic now discovered and a sure cure at hand, which means the cure was replacing the lead water pipes and going back to wood or clay. Do you know what the Romans did? That's right. That's exactly right. They chose to do nothing. They decided to keep using the lead pipes because of the cost involved in fixing the problem. They made a conscious choice to keep dying early. Now, I'm sharing this story to hopefully get your attention and that of policymakers in a way that simply saying, oh, gee, we need to stop polluting. Yeah, we've been saying that for 60 years. Saying it that way just doesn't seem to work. So we look back on the Romans 2,000 years ago with a certain amount of smug superiority, and we tell ourselves things like, oh, how stupid those ancient Romans were to keep poisoning themselves like that. Well, my good people, we need to take a long, hard look in the mirror, because in the last 2,000 years or so, we humans don't seem to have learned a whole lot in this regard. We're still doing it. We are still making conscious choices to not spend money to fix the damage, especially related to environmental toxins. And I do discuss that at length in my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World, where I talk about five or six very broad categories of toxins. The first are chemicals, and I kind of have separated the chemicals out into the primarily agricultural chemicals, and the other half of the chemicals are things like solvents and cleaners used in households and in industry in a wide range of places. So when I say five or six, do you want to call chemicals one category or two? Heavy metals, I'll say a little bit more about those here in a little bit. Four is various hydrocarbons and exhaust, mainly from automobiles and other internal combustion engines. Five is electromagnetic radiation, tremendous amount of cancer clusters related to high voltage power lines, related to cell phone towers, things of that nature, and nuclear ionizing radiation. So downwind of nuclear reactors and things of that nature. The places where all these chemicals and toxins end up are primarily in the air. That's one place. So we're forced to breathe them in. You cannot live on planet Earth without breathing in toxins every day. Another area is they get into our water supply. So we're drinking them. And we use toxic water to water our food crops. So we eat food watered with poison water and we get poisons. They end up in the ocean, which means any foods, seafoods, plants, or animals that come out of the oceans might be poisoned. They're in the soil. They're either absorbed from groundwater or sprayed on in pesticides, insecticides, weed killers, bug killers, fertilizers, antifungal agents. They're widespread in agriculture. Even if you're trying to run an organic farm, they blow in on the wind and it's really, really tough to avoid them. Nuclear radiation at low levels, depending on us more or less constantly, due to all the above ground nuclear testing, leakage from nuclear reactors and so forth. They're being radiated from cell phone towers, radio transmission towers, television transmission towers, satellite transmission towers. You can't avoid this stuff. Electromagnetic radiation, ionizing radiation, I will discuss in a few podcasts, maybe two, probably one. I just don't have room to cover all of these in one podcast. You know, there's a formula for podcasts. You want to have enough time to deliver information that's accurate and useful. And then you don't want to go too long because people will hear me droning on and fall asleep while driving. And that could be a bad thing. So we keep it to a certain length. And by we, I mean me. So stay tuned for future podcasts about radiation. Regarding all the myriad toxic chemicals, so today I'm pretty much focusing on toxic chemicals, we face them everywhere we turn. There are about 10,000 new chemicals or more that are released into our environment every year. When I first heard that number, I read it somewhere, probably while I was doing research for my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World, and I was trying to get up-to-date, accurate information. I read that, and it's like, I was shocked, and quite frankly, I didn't believe it at first. So I had to go do more research, and I kept finding that number or a higher number, multiple sources. So yeah, that's a true number. Every year, on average, worldwide, technological industries are producing 10,000 new chemicals a year, and they are being released into the environment. They're being used. We are exposed to them. So on average, out of those 10,000 new toxins, would you like to guess how many require testing for human safety? Any guesses at all? Sitting where you're listening to this, just say, okay, I'm a 5 or 200, whatever your guess is. If you said none, you'd be right. In an average year, none of those new chemicals require any kind of testing for safety at all. Therefore, it should come as no surprise that environmental toxins are number 2 on my list of the big 3 causes of major chronic disease. What I'd like to do now is very briefly review some of the most common adverse effects of these various toxins, and then I'm going to review some of the actual toxins themselves. The most commonly affected tissues and organs in our body, in roughly the order of the most damaged first, the list goes like this. First is our nervous system, especially the brain and the central nervous system. Second is our endocrine system, which consists of a variety of glands and organs, such as your pituitary gland, the thyroid, parathyroid glands, adrenals, the reproductive system. And third, the immune system, especially the thymus gland and the bone marrow. Next, other internal organs, especially the heart, kidneys, and liver. And that's just the worst effects. Okay, other effects are possible as well. So whenever I see a patient with symptoms in the nervous system, endocrine system, immune system that can't be explained via any other means, I always start thinking about environmental toxins. Now, some of the worst toxins come from the agricultural industry. Agricultural chemicals especially disrupt the endocrine system and immune systems because the molecules very closely mimic our own natural hormones. Unfortunately, they don't have the beneficial effects our own hormones do and can lead to various hormonal imbalances, which can completely disrupt and in a few cases may completely shut down our own hormonal systems. Women's reproductive systems in particular can be badly disrupted, and environmental toxins are one of the main causes of our modern infertility epidemic. Possibly the second most common and equally damaging category of toxins are the heavy metals. What we mean by heavy metals is pretty much that any metal our body doesn't need. Iron, for example, we need iron in the proper forms the body will use to make the hemoglobin in our blood, which carries our oxygen around, so that's pretty important. Too much iron, however, or iron in the wrong form, might be dangerous. Now, there are other metals, such as lead, mercury, nickel, aluminum, many others, that have no uses in our body whatsoever, and if we ingest them, breathe them, drink them, or exposed in any other way, they will be poisons in our system. Mercury, for instance, tends to congregate in our hearts, where high levels of electrical currents associated with our normal heartbeat attracts the mercury, apparently more than other metals, and that in turn damages the heart cells. And it's interesting to note that chelation, the use of special chemicals developed mainly in World War II that pull metals from the body, has been used extensively to help reverse heart disease. And one reason, although most of the research focuses on chelation's abilities to pull metals and reverse damage in our arteries, I think the fact that it also pulls metals out of our heart muscles themselves may be one of the reasons chelation is so beneficial for heart disease. One of the unfortunate facts of modern life is that many, many toxic chemicals are deliberately being used in a variety of household products and even body care and supposedly health products. Now, this clearly defies logic for anyone who has truly has a sense of health as a goal. We ask ourselves the question, why, oh, why should products we use every day in our homes, rub on our bodies, such as lotions or shampoos, or used to clean our kitchens where we prepare food for ourselves, our families, and our children, why, for instance, should they be allowed to be full of dangerous toxic chemicals? Seems very strange, but it all goes back to that thing I mentioned a little bit ago about the 10,000 new chemicals every year that require no testing. Maybe if there were some agency that could protect us from the environmental toxins out there, some environmental protecting like agency who could do something about that. But nah, that'll probably never happen. So things are added to products that are poisonous. They're added deliberately. They enhance color, they enhance texture, aroma, if it's a food product, taste. And it's all mostly being done for marketing purposes, for color, texture, and aromas and taste. Sometimes the additives are, you know, let's make this foaming cleaner a little foamier and maybe it'll clean better. But a lot of them have nothing whatsoever to do with the actual performance of the product. They're just being added to help sell it. On average, we spend about half our lives in our homes. We sleep a third of our lives, roughly, and then we have time to be in our homes, living our lives, reading our books, watching our entertainment, listening to music, eating and preparing food, visiting with our family and friends. So it would make sense that we would want our homes to be as safe and clean and free from toxins as possible. You simply can't be healthy when you're living in a toxic waste dump. So right now, I'm going to go through a very brief list of ingredients you may find in common household products you're already using, maybe some of them on a daily basis. So I invite you to pause this, replay this, go down this list, and then read the labels on all your products and see how many of these you have. First up is formaldehyde. And yes, this is the same toxic preservative from biology class. It outgasses from your flooring and the insulation in your walls. And it is found as an ingredient in body care products where it's being used as a preservative to prevent bacterial growth. And among many, many health problems, formaldehyde causes cancer. The next thing I want to make you aware of is something called toluene. This is a solvent. It's sometimes used in paint thinners or similar solvents, and you get it at a hardware store. It will cause skin irritation and a lot of respiratory problems. Alternative names that may be on the labels that are basically the same chemical include benzene, methylbenzene, toluol, or phenolphthalein. I'm sorry, not phenolphthalein, phenolethane. Sorry about that, phenolethane. Toluene is a common ingredient in nail care products, hair dyes, and bleaching products. And pregnant women absolutely positively should not use it at all because it can cause birth defects. In fact, if you are pregnant, if you are thinking of getting pregnant, get it out of your house. Go through, find everything pretty much on this whole list and get out of your house. Propylene glycol. This is an industrial chemical that's often used as a de-icing spray on aircraft in winter. And it's chemically related to automobile antifreeze. You might very well see it showing up in your shampoo. It's a known skin irritant. It could cause dermatitis and other health problems. Category of chemicals called parabens. These are preservatives that are intended to stop the growth of yeast, molds, and bacteria. Their chemical structure mimics estrogen, causing women's hormone balance in problems. It disrupts women's hormones. It has actually been found, parabens have actually been found in breast tumors, and you might find it in a variety of different household products. Next is called a category called phthalates. And that isn't spelled like you think it is. It's spelled some other way. P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S, phthalates. It includes by the names of diethyl, dimethyl, and dibutyl phthalates. These violently disrupt the endocrine system. They are associated with breast cancers, early breast development, premature puberty, and an increase in birth defects. And guess where you find it? It's in hairspray, lotions, nail polish, and deodorants. Those are the most common places it's found, but read all your labels because it might be in other things as well. Next up is a substance called triclosan. This is an antimicrobial chemical, basically a preservative, and it's often found in antibacterial soaps, hand sanitizers, and what? Toothpaste. It's found in toothpaste. Adverse effects of triclosan include disruption of the reproductive system and my favorite little gland in the body, the thyroid. I treat more thyroid conditions than any other single disorder in my career so far. So yeah, triclosan, it's got to go. Next up, ammonia causes headaches, vomiting, liver disease, some kidney disease, and as side effects of all those, coma and death. It'll be in a lot of things, especially and mostly cleaning products, especially window cleaners and glass cleaners. Next up is a category called quaternary disinfectant. These are really, really strong disinfectants. They are typically used in surgical rooms and hospitals. They are absolutely overkill for household use. Unless you're doing open heart surgery on your dining table, they don't need to be in your home. They are strongly irritant to the lungs and skin. Chlorine bleach. The inhaled fumes can irritate skin, lungs, and eyes. Some people are horribly allergic to this. It also is one of the bad things that when we flush it down the drain, wash it down the drain, it ends up in the water supply. It binds easily with other chemicals. We're making new chemicals we never even thought of in the labs. And while tiny amounts, relatively speaking, highly dilute, have been used historically for washing food, but the higher concentrations usually found in household cleaning products, and especially pure undiluted bleach, are very, very dangerous. Phosphates. Phosphates are not extremely toxic to humans. They may cause some irritation, but phosphates are extremely dangerous when they're released into the environment, which is where they end up when you wash them down the drain. Once they get into bodies of water, especially standing bodies of water like lakes and some coastal bays, they really promote overgrowth of various algae blooms. They choke off the oxygen cycle in aquatic life. Phosphates and cleaning products are banned in 17 of our 50 states. EPA recommends against them, but you may still find them and you don't want them in any product you use for yourself or your family. Okay, so for all those reasons and all those ingredients, I have completely replaced all the toxin-laden products that you will typically find at big box stores and supermarkets. I've gone through the whole house. We've gotten rid of everything, and we have a complete line of products that are free of every toxin I just mentioned. Everything we use in our home, from cleaning surfaces, washing dishes, mopping floors, to shampoo, lotions, laundry, and so on, are now everything in our home is completely toxin-free. And switching to this clean, safe, environmentally friendly product line is one of the best things I've done in recent years. Now I want to just say a few words about how to get the toxins out of your body once they get in. This is typically done what we in natural medicine call a detoxification program. There are as many detox programs available in your local health food store or supplement store or online, probably as there are practitioners who like to recommend them. And unfortunately, not all detox programs are created equal, and some actually do as much harm as they do good. This is an important subject, so I will devote an entire podcast to detox programs done right in the very near future. If you are ready to start one now, if you said, man, I got all this stuff, I got to get out of this, and you can't wait to get started on your detox program, well, contact me. The email and phone are all on my website, and we can set up a consultation to get you started on a detox program without having to wait maybe a week or two for my detox podcast. Next up, I want to say just a couple words about heavy metals as a category of toxins. It needs a few special comments. This, too, is a very detailed and broad subject. It's worthy of its own podcast. So, yes, there will be a heavy metal podcast coming after the general detox podcast. And heavy metals are toxins that our body has no natural built-in way of getting rid of. Throughout history, we simply haven't had a need for it. We've never needed a mechanism to eliminate mercury or lead or aluminum or any of the other heavy metals because we've never been around much until the last 100 years or so. It's modern mining and technology has finally become such a widespread issue. We have to deal with metals. The Romans didn't, and look what happened to them. I rest my case, right? So electromagnetic radiation, ionizing radiation will also have to have their own podcast down the road. All these subjects that I'm deferring for now, detox programs, testing for and elimination of heavy metals, and dealing with electromagnetic radiation and ionizing radiation, they're discussed at length in my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World. And you do have the ability to contact me directly for more information on any of these subjects. That's it for today. I have a request that you please subscribe to my podcast. If you like it, that way you can find it easier. They're supposed to notify you when a new episode comes out, and it'll make it easy for you to refer to your friends when you hit, oh, yeah, good friend so-and-so really needs to hear this one. It also helps my ratings and help me get seen by more people, which in turn helps me spread my messages about health and empowerment to a wider audience. Don't forget the July special, 15% off my services. Just send me an email that includes words total pod in the message and tell me how you would like to use that discount. And until next time, this is Dr. Cade wishing you good health.